What you're about to see is a highly magnified water drop slowed way down. I show you this because it is a perfect metaphor for what you might experience going through this module, and in fact, what we're going to be doing going through the module, which is we're going to take something that happens so fast, which is hard conversations. Everything that goes on in them happens so quickly, it is hard to understand them. And so I'm going to slow everything way down so that we can magnify our awareness of dynamics that are going on. And by slowing it way down, we can actually get better at managing them. And then at the end, we'll speed it right back up and you'll see how easy it can be. So you might feel a little overwhelmed going through these modules. That's completely normal. It's okay. Don't feel like you have to understand all of it. You're going to get the high points, and you can always come back later and review a bit more. And at the end, I'll distill it down to something so simple you'll wonder, why did we spend so much time making it complicated? But I promise it'll be helpful for you. And so let's get started in our next section. You have three brains. You may not know that, but we all have three brains. And what we're going to talk about next is how those brains function in hard conversations. So here's what I mean by the three brains. The first one is you have your mind. This is your thinking. This is literally your brain. This is the thought patterns. The second brain is your heart. And what I mean by a brain is it has its own center of intelligence. In fact, scientists have found that it has an electromagnetic field 5,000 times greater than the electromagnetic field of the brain. It extends out in 8 feet in every direction. That's what they've been able to measure. And it also has actual 40,000 neural dendrites in it, which are actual brain cells, but they're in the heart. And that means that it has its own way of perceiving and understanding the world through our emotionality. It has wisdom embedded in it. The third brain is the brain of the gut. This is what some people call the will or doing or acting. This is the part of us, the body, which is comprised of trillions of incredibly intelligent cells doing all kinds of things on our behalf without our knowledge or even understanding, and also giving us a great deal of information. This is not just a metaphor, though there is truth to this. The gut instinct, the gut decision, the gut impression, that stuff, all of that is in the gut. And so when you think about the human being, it's helpful to imagine that you have three centers of intelligence, and all three must be online and active in order for you to navigate this world the best possible way. And we'll go through each of these as part of the hard conversation. Now, I'm going to revisit the conversation that I had with Tom in when we go through this. So if you haven't seen that module where I talk about missing conversations, I tell you this story, I'm going to use that. So make sure you watch that before you watch this. So let's start here with the mind. We'll start at the top. These are, remember I introduced the idea of thought weeds and mind seeds and how these beliefs about the world can actually cause problems. So let's just explore for a moment. In any hard conversation, what you have are, you know, weeds that come up. So what weeds, what thought weeds do you bring to this difficult conversation you're going to have? So, for example, a thought weed could be, some samples are, you know, these are beliefs that are common. She's too passive. Another thought weed might be, he's so political. Or another one might be, she's too black and white. And last, he's a bully. So these are all beliefs that we hold and have about people. Thought weeds, by their nature, are almost always negative beliefs about other people. And so we are, in our life and our choices are being informed by these thought weeds. And a question you might ask yourself is, what mind seeds could you plant instead? What's a more resourceful belief that you might play with? So here's one example. What if you played with the belief that every behavior, no matter how bad it looks, has a positive motive behind it? That every behavior, no matter how bad it looks, is actually motivated by some positive intention. It may not have positive results, but it's a positive intention, and that helps us get behind something. So, with that in mind, taking that as an experiment, let's go back to those weeds and plant a different seed. We're going to pull the weed and plant the seed. She's too passive. What if it was instead things like she wants to hear others? Maybe she wants to make space for others. Maybe she intends to be respectful. Maybe she values kindness. And so what's read as passivity is actually a form of respect and kindness to others. So that's an interesting reframe, an alternative seed you could plant that would change the course of the conversation. He's so political. What might be a positive intention of that? He wants to get things done. He's ambitious. He wants impact. What about she's too black and white? Could be something like she's searching for clarity. She wants to do it right. These are positive, good things. And that black and white, rigid thinking is, yeah, causing problems, but there's this intention behind it that's important to discover. He's a bully. What about, you know, he believes in his mission? What about he values truth? What about he's highly engaged? He's passionate. So that's one way to begin thinking about these things, is to begin to explore what are the thought weeds you bring to a person in the conversation. So here are the three questions to ask yourself before going into any conversation. We're slowing it down. We're just focused on the head right now. What story are you telling yourself about this person? So in my case, you remember Tom and I had it out. We had a rough fight. He was, you know, going around behind my back telling the CEO something. And the story that I was telling myself is, this guy is a political genius and he's maneuvering and he's hurting me and causing problems and strife and conflict. And I need to put a stop to this guy because this is going to hurt our business and this might hurt me personally and me professionally. So that's a story that I was telling myself about the person. What do you believe about the other person? Well, the story kind of tells you some beliefs. He's too ambitious. He's highly politically motivated. He's undermining me. These are beliefs that I have. He doesn't trust me. He doesn't respect me. There you go. So you sow enough of those weeds and you are in real trouble. Now, what might be the positive motive of their behavior? So in Tom's case, what was he up to really? Well, the positive motive was Tom really wanted to perform well. And he was concerned that the way that things were going, he wouldn't be able to perform. That I would make decisions that would impact his business in all the wrong ways. Now, he had another positive intention, which was he wanted to have a good relationship with the CEO. So he went privately to him to try to build that relationship. Nothing wrong with wanting that private, you know, that positive relationship. So what that does is it begins to reframe just a little bit how I come at it. If I understand that his motive was in some way, shape, or form positive, I can actually meet him on that ground in order to have that conversation. So think about in your situation, in whatever conversation might be missing or a conversation that went wrong, ask yourself these questions. And there's a downloadable Word document. You can actually write your answers in that if you want to download it and look at it. But what story are you telling yourself about this person? What do you believe about the other person? Make a few notes. And then can you find the potential positive motive in their behavior, the thing that was irritating or agitating or frustrating or disappointing or whatever? Can you find that? I want to remind you of something in an earlier video that's related to all of this. You remember this picture in which we discussed the figure-ground relationship, which is what they call it, that we select the figure, that thing in the foreground, from the ground, the thing in the background, based upon what matters to us at the time, right? So that's that. Well, there's another way to talk about that same idea, which is there is a difference between facts and stories about those facts. So in this picture, for example, the facts are clear. There's a tree, there's a couple, there's a lake, there's a baby kind of in the negative space. The story that I could tell about these facts could be that this is a young couple that is about to have a baby and they're kind of dreaming about that new baby as they look out over the lake. The story could equally be, and that's a positive story, the equal story could be, this is a very dark and ominous looking tree and kind of a grayed out setting. And this is the story of a couple that has lost their baby and are grieving. Two totally different stories, diametrically opposed, using the same facts. This is possible. In fact, it happens consistently. The other day, I was listening to the radio in my car. And a song came on that I didn't like. And I decided to change the channel to play a different song. I found a different song on another station. I liked it. And so I kept listening to it. The only thing that drove my decision about which song to listen to was how it felt. Do I feel good listening to this or not? Do I like it or not? What I was not able to change was the fact that there was a song playing on the radio on a station that I did not like. And there was no way to stop that. There was no way to deny that, but I could change the channel. And the good news is there was a great song playing on another station. So this is a metaphor for exactly how we come to these conversations, really difficult conversations, whether it's in your marriage or in work or whatever, is the story we tell is like the song that's playing on the radio. Many, many songs are playing. You can choose which one you want to listen to. And if you choose one, let's say I chose the song I really like, I'm not denying the reality that there's another song playing that I don't like. That's real too. So you know what? Tom might have had some bad motives going on. Tom might have been up to no good. Tom might have been trying to undermine me. And that's a real song that's actually playing. I'm not saying it wasn't. But it's also true that Tom really wanted to do a good job and Tom really wanted a good relationship. And so, which story felt better to me? The one that was more positive. And when I chose that story, I was able to come to Tom after the conversation went wrong. I got to come back to him. And I started the conversation from that place. Hey, Tom, I know what you're after is to do really great work. You're a high performer. I also know it's important you have a good relationship with our boss. See, that's a starting point. I chose the song. It felt better. Now, if I don't have this awareness, the awareness that there are many, many songs playing and that I am consciously choosing one over another, rather than I see the truth and you're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. No, I see a truth, not the truth. So the question is, which station are you listening to in the stories that are being told? What story is it, okay? This is really important stuff. You know this metaphor here of the two faces facing each other. Well, this is what we see. We only see that one thing until we change the frame. When we zoom out, what we get is a one vase. Two faces or one vase? Which is it? Yes, the answer is both. Just like the radio stations, both pictures exist simultaneously. And what you can see depends on the frame you're using. So everything that I'm doing, these questions that I've designed, are intended to get you to choose consciously alternative frames. This isn't just about being more positive. Sometimes the negative frame you need to choose and you need to work with. The reason this is important is this. It all comes down to this. The more possibilities you can see, the more paths you have to your goal. The more ways that you can render this reality, remember, we render reality all the time. We distill it down. We block, we bend, we blend, we merge, we do all these different things. And that doesn't ever give us the full picture of reality. So all I'm doing is showing you, A, we don't have the full picture, and B, what other pictures could exist? Because the more pictures I have, that gives me different ways to enter the conversation. It also changes my emotional life. And that is where we're going next. Every one of the stories you tell affects how you feel. And that was the story there of the radio. So that's where we're headed next.